Today's guest is rewriting what soca can sound like. Not just vibes and rhythm, but vulnerability, purpose, and truth. He's a writer, performer, and cultural voice, blending emotion with energy and turning personal stories into powerful anthems. From carnival stages to soul-stirring EPs, his music is different, and he's just getting started. This is Pretty, and he is up next on the Baja TV Podcast. Baja TV Podcast is powered by 47 Productions, located in Trinidad and Tobago, the Rolls Royce of recording studios in the Caribbean. Hey guys, it's your girl Basha, and welcome to the Baja TV Podcast. Now guys, don't forget to subscribe, because you know that this, we're number one for Caribbean celebrities in particular, athletes, entertainers, the best. If you want to see the best from the Caribbean, this is where it's at. So don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our website, BajaTV.com. So now, today is a big day. I'm feeling all sorts of feels. I'm about to interview someone that I have never interviewed, and I'm asking myself how and why. So before any further delay, I want to introduce you to a man that hails from a place called Maloney, Trinidad. So some of you in the, around the world may not know where this place is, but those types of places usually produce talents such as his. So without any further delay, I introduce to you one of the best soca artists from the country that I was fortunate to be born, Pretty.
Hi!
After that entry, I had a pose, not true? Pretty, welcome.
Welcome. Hi,
listen, the honor is all ours. I can't believe we haven't met for an interview as yet. What's wrong with me?
That's okay. Plenty of people that knew Bob Marley before he was a legend too.
Facts.
And that process.
Facts. I like that. I want to tell you, we talk about, in my intro, I mentioned that you're from a place called Maloney. And for those people who live outside of Trinidad and Tobago, and we have viewers and subscribers from around the world, guys, let me just paint this picture. Maloney would be described in some countries as an inner city, as slum. A ghetto, a slum, all kinds of stuff. But as I said prior to this interview to Pretty, one of the things that I have always known as a media entrepreneur and as a businesswoman, I've always recognized that the greatest talents reside in those areas around the world. Pretty, I know that you don't necessarily know me personally, but for the people in your industry who really know who Basha Powell is, I'm that girl, I'm that woman, I'm that queen who understands that value does not necessarily have a location, right? And just by reading your story, I'm so touched. And I recognize your value immediately. And thank you. Thank you for writing a different story for Maloney. Thank you. You are the bomb. You're amazing. Your music often carries an emotional weight that's rare in mainstream soca. What inspired you to bring vulnerability into a genre that is traditionally all about celebration, wine and jam, my favorite thing? What inspired you to do this?
Music is therapeutic for me. I see it as an escape. And there are times when, as a songwriter, I write how I feel. And sometimes, you feel a little bit intimidated to release those kind of music, but I was fortunate to be in a situation where I just trusted the process, released a song I actually didn't expect to get big, which was Say It. And the energy and the feedback that I've gotten allowed me to understand that I don't have to walk the same path that everybody else walking. I am an emotional human being. I'm a musician. I think all creatives are emotional. Nobody's void of emotion unless they're trying to hide something or they've been hurt before. So for me, I think the best way to truly, truly kind of connect with my fans through my music is being totally honest, being totally vulnerable, and, you know, not studying if I would be judged, because judgment is, you know, it's understood in this game, but knowing that, you know, this is authentically me.
Wow. Powerful. I mean, was there a specific moment or loss that pushed you to start telling deeper stories through your...
Yeah, there was two in particular. I mentioned one with Sia. I was in a committed relationship, you know, it was a very long relationship. And, you know, it was during the pandemic, before the pandemic, and I fell into tough times, and that person was always there with me. And she asked the simple question of why I would never write, why I have never written a song for her. You know, I've written a song for Jump and Wave and all these things. So, you know, we was in a very bad place. I was in the doghouse, you know, I was a bad boy. But I wanted to change, you know,
I love a man who just talking truth, you know.
To be better. And, you know, I felt like that was the only thing I could do, was express myself in music. And I wrote Say It for her.
Did it work?
Yeah, we actually married now. We have a son.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, tell her hi.
Yes. And the other part, I did a song called Pray. I sang a song for a guy by the name of Wadiki. I knew him. He was from Maloney. Knew him growing up. Very funny human. Very funny. Could light up the room. Unfortunately, he got caught up in the life. And it was so weird. I didn't himself know Wadiki had my number. Wadiki called me a day, and he was like, pretty. I know it sometimes feel like Maloney will support here and these things. But bro, keep on doing what you're doing. Oh. My son is talking about you all the time. I appreciate it. And of course, reason, you know, I never expected to get a call from him. I know we good, we go, if you only block chilling.
So he was like a bad man, to put it in context.
Yeah, he was.
One of the wrong crowd, he was a bad man. Original bad man kind of thing.
He was funny, but he was nobody to play with. Ooh. And just that experience, two weeks after, he ended up getting shot. Oh. And it touched me because during the course of that week, I was in the primary school, but his children go to my old primary school, and I do a lot of charity in the school, so funding the football team. Every year I do a charitable show for the school where I bring in artists.
Amazing.
And the teachers was telling me how amazing of a father he is. He's in school, he's always there, his children will give trouble anytime they give trouble. They have his personal number, and he just come in and support. So it just goes to show that, you know, if you just judge the book by its cover, you would only see that. But the kind of human he was, he had all the characteristics of an amazing person, amazing father, despite what he did. And I felt like I just wanted to pay homage to that person. And I know so many youth men who there was on a national team, or they have all the talent, but mental just not there. Maybe they're in the wrong circle, or they don't believe in themselves. That's why I sang Pray, to just kind of tap into a lot of people that we lost, and to the ones that here kind of don't lose sight of that spiritual side in this journey. Sometimes you don't know where success coming from, but you just had to believe in something greater than yourself. So
I love you so much, Pretty. I swear to you, I'm not just saying this. Let me tell you why, because I was going to ask you about Pray. That's your favorite song of mine. And let me tell you the line in the song that really resonates with me. You know, you said that I feel like it was a turning point in your life, correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, where you say, I pray for the single mother with the look of you. Pray for the school. that don't have no shoes. I pray for the woman going through abuse. I pray another girl does not get used.
And that was actually written by Kimmy, who has sung a song with another inner city, very talented national player, but injured. And now he has to lean on music. So shout out to Kimmy. It was a pleasure working on him in this project. Yeah. Definitely.
Kimmy. that was like, that was my language. That's when I know you were the one for me. Mm-hmm. Serious, that being able to prioritize such lyrics in, you know, in the soca industry, it says something about the type of human that you are.
Of course.
And Kimmy, of course.
No, of course, you know, sometimes you get bottleneck into soca.
Yeah.
Think that is just jump wave. But Trinidad and Tobago is a country that we regurgitate all kind of music, from Celine Dion, the Pussy. Mm-hmm. To Michael Jackson, to Messiah. We have jazz singers, R&B singers. So for me, I grew up listening to everything.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a little bit frustrating to just be pigeonholed into being a soca artist.
Yeah.
No regrets, but I'm happy that I have success outside of the genre to be able to tap into different emotions.
Yes, yes. But in saying that though, what was your favorite type of music growing up? Was it soca? Was it dancehall? Was it country music? Because country music was one of mine.
I had phases. Big dancehall vibes, Carter phase, Black Rhino, Ja Vinci, R&B phase, when the R&B was big. I also had a phase where, because I'm a stepfather, I have a huge love for Simon and Garfunkel.
Really?
Good Day, Bad Day, I am a rock. I am a rock.
You're not playing for that.
But it's definitely, I definitely have a vast palette of music.
That's nice. Yeah.
And my wife is all R&B.
She's all R&B.
Yeah, so I have to be karaoke, non-stop karaoke.
My God, that's really sweet. But Hannah, I have to give you this joke, but I'll give you the joke after the break. You know, we had to pay some bills, but I have to give you a joke about a song you have there that is just mash up party. All right? This is Baja TV Podcast. Let's pause for a cause. We got to pay some bills and come back. Yeah? This episode is brought to you by 124 Nut Out Sports Agency. Welcome to the next level. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with my guy, Pretty. And he's looking pretty. Welcome to Baja TV. Okay. All right. Let me tell you something. I didn't want to get too heavy. I mean, you know, I love Pray and everything. But you have other songs that are just like, it has mash up party and bring the vibes. When me and my girls are hanging out. And I like Search Party. Yeah. That's in my top three pretty songs, right? But my song that has just mash up the party where me and my sister, my cousins, and my girls hanging out is Lost and Found. Let me tell you something.
Come on.
We ain't afraid to bend down and pick it up here.
Let them bring it in as a sir.
Hey, let me tell you. On behalf of my sisters who reside in London, New Jersey, Washington, Naples, Atlanta, New York, and everywhere. Thank you for that, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
That was so good, everybody.
Thank you. I always had to pay homage to St. Lucia for that song.
Listen, Pretty, that song does just make church girls have to repent, you know.
It's just money, God will understand. Once you see the lyrics, you will understand.
I mean, that got over because I'm like, where did they get this song from? Like, you know? Even my husband likes the song because he's a man that respect bumper. So, you know, we start to bend over and pick it up, you know. So I like that. I like that you can still bring the bacchanal because carnival and soca is bacchanal.
I have multiple personalities. I always like to joke. I have severe ADHD.
But what do you have? Say that again.
Severe ADHD.
Oh, my. That's good.
So I don't feel like I am in one mood, but I guess that's a human, you know. Yeah. So
the creative, you know,
Yeah, definitely. So I always try to give fun music, but always try to be spiritual, always try to be loving. So it's just, you know, moods.
Yeah, we all have different sides, and that's what people don't understand, that we can be different people. This idea that man, I think it's a man-made idea that you're spiritual, you can't be fun, or you can't have, you know, the ability to create things that are a little bit funny or naughty sometimes. I don't go in for that. I think that a creative is a spiritual person, and whatever you're led to create, you create that. You know what I mean? It's all vibes. So do you ever feel conflicted navigating between music that makes people dance and bendong and pick it up, or music that makes people reflect? Is there like a conflict? I mean, I think you just explained that by saying that you have these multiple personalities.
Yeah, of course. And then obviously sometimes they clash. You know, sometimes you drop a song to be in love, and your fans, they're not in love right now. They want to jam. You know? So it's like, I dropped when Search Party. Search Party took a really long time to build.
I don't know why. I like it.
Yeah, and Beaten Road also. Beaten Road took off. So it's like Lost and Found took a little while. Your Bad took off. So it's like, it's sometimes the song and the moment, as I reach a stage in my career where it's not just about, you know, going to studio or recording and chopping a hit. Yeah, there'll be a lot more strategic.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a lot more patient, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I don't know why they take a lot. One of my cousins who introduced me to Lost and Found, they bent over, pick it up, and that was it from that day. I think the first time I heard that song, it was either in Jamaica or London, and it was just like, that was my song. I mean, that if the vibe's there, then that, come on, you know, we gotta bend over and pick it up.
And I feel like that is one of the amazing, it's a blessing, but also frustrating at times, because I don't think I've ever had a song that dropped and just take off one time. I always had to put on the groundwork, market, you know, sometimes after Carnival is when the song, everybody like, yo, why DJs wasn't playing these songs?
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
I do it feeling frustrated and just accept that, you know. Once my music hits, the day for life, you know.
You know, I think it's because of that same multiple personality. Sometimes it's easier for songs that, you know, there are people who have one style, so they know what to expect from them. So I think it's easy for that to drop and take off. And then it's not necessarily a legendary song. I could be wrong. But the songs that take a while to build last longer. It's just life, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can't be pigeonholed. Like, I listen to some of your songs and I'm like, he's singing love stories. But then I listen to Prayer and other ones and I'm like, okay, he's reflective. He is singing about his pain. His trauma is his triumph. So I hear those things, but then sometimes I think you're singing a love story. So like, how would you define your brand of soca in one sentence?
Real. That is what I think.
That's one word, Deputy. That's one word.
One sentence, sorry.
I'm laughing. He's making faces at me at the window. This guy's crazy. He doesn't understand interviewing pretty.
my music definitely is a kaleidoscope of emotions that is accessible, or it possibly could fill all it needs. So if you're going to be wild, I'm wild music. If you're going to be in love, I've loved music. And I'm just doing it because I want to cater to the masses. I'm doing this because it's me. And I'm catering to the individual that can resonate to the way I feel. So.
Yeah. I like that. You've worked with some of the biggest names in soca. Some remains distinct. Yet your song remains distinct. How do you stay true to your message while still playing in the larger? Because you're different, and you at the top of the interview, you talked about you referred to your authenticity. You don't appear to be shy about being yourself? What allows you to remain, you know, you have some reggae artists, even when dancehall was taken off, they remain reggae artists. You know, what is it for you? What allows you to remain pretty?
It's real difficult to fake to be somebody else. I don't think I have any mental capacity. Yes, other than myself.
Say it again.
It's real hard to be somebody else. And I want, when I look back in 10 years, people could look at the timeline and see that I have not tried to trick the system or try to gain a shortcut by being something that I'm not. When I was, before I even bust, I remember like praying to God that I would make it in this career, and I made a promise that if he allowed me to have a career in music and do all of that, I would only do it the right way. I wouldn't cut corners, I wouldn't cheat, I wouldn't scam. And I'm very spiritual, so I feel like wherever I pour it is where I will get back. So I think I'm now starting to understand the style of being a celebrity or being an artist. Mm-hmm. And I really like, as I always say, when I was, you know, fat, sloppy, broken and sweaty, I always feel I was popular. So
correct. You always know you were a star. I get it. You always knew that you were a star. So you're not pretending, you're not acting, you're always a star.
This is just my vibes, and being a star is not, I being a star, being a celebrity is not just trying to just, you know, be the most popular person in the room, but sometimes being able to, you know, take in information. And as I say, also I'm a student of the game, so I try to take in and learn, and sometimes I don't know when I shut up too. I talk plenty, so I learn how to shut up sometimes.
I like you. I just like how authentic you are. You know, like you are truth. I like that, because I admire people who know how to get to the truth quickly and who can take accountability. Like how you said you had to write that song because you were behaving bad for the, for the missus. I like that.
I think I pride myself some. My wife has always said I just know how to dance on the line. And then before I get into your struggle, girl, and she's a good one. She also inspired many, like my muse too. So she, the newest song that I dropped, my again, she's inspired by her also.
Really? You sound like you've really met your life partner in your wife. Your partnership.
Cook, clean, make money, good in.
Yeah, she can throw it up. Yeah, she can bend down and pick it up. Yeah. That's
and having that support staff also kind of keeps me grounded in knowing that the mission that I'm in is bigger than myself. Yeah. You know, my goal is to, my surname is Chance. You know, so I feel like it's God giving a surname for a reason, because he gave opportunity. I believe everybody has the opportunity to be successful bigger than themselves, but sometimes it's just believing in something bigger than yourself. So
wow. Pretty, I like you so much.
I like you too.
Yeah, you know why? That authenticity. You sort of remind me of one of my very good friends whose studio you're sitting in doing Bravo. He was the same person before he had money.
Seemed like that.
He was like when you talk, you know, you're always a star. So yeah. I like people like that.
I didn't always know I was a star, but
I was shining. Your light is always shining. A star is not about fame, it's about a light.
True.
And some people are supposed to be famous, but their light's not shining, their light is dim. Because they're not authentic. Authenticity wins. You are that.
Try to be.
You that. You the kind of guy who say, I was naughty. You're the worst kind to be mad at.
Yeah, no, I think too is a lot of people ashamed at the past. I honestly don't have any regrets, you know, because I'm definitely happy with the person and the man that I am today. And the mistakes allow me to become that person, learning from those mistakes. I cool with being me, you know.
So how do you, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing I want to change right now is I just want to get my six pack. If I get a six pack, I'm going to call something. You're dead all day. They can't stop. I'm going to be back. Right now, I'm going to be back in this interview. Just a chain glasses, so you know.
Yes. Pretty. Listen, I live in a country that I could hook you up with a six pack. You know, that six pack already.
No, brother. My cousin. I have some cousins. I can't be a celebrity with them fellas. They will rip me to shreds. No disrespect to whoever feels the need to do that to build your own confidence. In your world, that's good for you.
I agree.
In my world, I have a cousin named Kareem, and he can't wait to tell me how big mine was and what words I can't spell. So I can't handle that pressure. That's my thing.
I don't know if you were following, because you know this is my business. I follow media, and I was looking at Jeff Bezos' wedding in Venice, a place that I went to once upon a time when I had some money. And let me tell you something. I see some arms inside of there that I know weights didn't build.
Weights did not build them,
ladies' arms. You see, your mind have a look a jiggle. Right now, I want to know who insert them muscles, not muscles, no, them muscles for them.
My as I always say too, is like as much as I was always a little chubby, I always had an engine after football in school and things. And you know, I realized that I feel like my weight never slowed.
Some ladies like the chubby boy. Some ladies like
the season is he on 16. I see best person to hold up. You can hold up chisel abs. he can't keep you warm if you have a tin. No comfort at
all. Yeah, tin man can't keep you warm. Pretty, you are cuddler.
Come on, big spoon, little spoon. Come on, man.
Pretty, you're the best. Take time with me today, man. You make me laugh. I didn't think it was possible for anybody to make me laugh today, because I just get vexed, and I don't get vexed, and I'm real positive, and it's positive vibes, right? True, but just I get up and everybody just, and then you came true, and you see, that's how I know God is real. You're the man for the job.
All right.
Stop it, pretty. Stop it. I want to stop laughing. I have to interview you. Okay, so how do people from your neighborhood respond to your music, particularly the songs that speak directly to the lived experience from Malone?
I got a lot of love, man. I got a lot of love, especially I was trying to go back to my hood. Ever so often, as I say, I do a charity program in the school where I try every year to give back. So I'm present in the primary school a lot. So a lot of the primary school kids know my uncle. Even though I just don't post it up on social media, because it's something that really near and dear. That's my old primary school. Like, the first time I sing, first time I won a competition, first time my teacher, Mr. Abasio, he put me in the computer room and was like, yeah, I'm singing a song and enter me in a competition. I win a 1500 bar roti, and me and my brethren Timothy. So it was definitely, I always try to go back, because I see that Maloney has so much talent, sporting wise, musical, academics, there's so much. And I want to be able to say, don't forget, you know, whatever success you have, whatever blessings that you have, to whoever, whatever field, you want to be a celebrity, just come back and bless the ones that need blessings. Because sometimes you just being there is inspiration enough for them to believe that, yo, I can make it too.
It is possible. When they see their own do it, they know that, hey, I don't have to choose crime. Like, I have a talent, and if I pursue that, I can be like Pretty. That's the message.
I will always say, I've seen a lot of guys who are honestly victims of their environment. Like, they have all the potential. If somebody just take them away and just you know, for, get them up 2 years away from that. Tell everybody, hey, when he get big and come back, he will take care of it. But for now, leave him for 2 years and just let him make it. And then when he come back, he'll be good. I think there will be a lot more success stories. But it's the same way as I think everybody wants to be famous or everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants to be financially literate.
Ah.
Everybody wants to be famous, but nobody wants to.
Who made you? What is your mother's name?
Juliet. I get Juliet. Plenty. Yeah, that was terrible. I get plenty. Yes. Love your mom.
So that is also a solution, you know. Instead of giving the message that, hey, you know, when you get rich, you can, you know, do the wrong things, you get plenty money, and money will. Because honestly, I remember growing up, right? And whilst my path was academia initially, I really believe that, you know, once I got successful, and I was saying this to one of my close family members recently, back then when I get successful and I make a lot of money, the right way, whatever the right way was, for me it was academics, right? I would then, it will solve all my problems. Not necessarily, because I have a lot of friends who became academically successful, but they weren't financially successful. I feel that even if they miss it at the high school level, but it should start from there. They need to start implementing, because I don't really love the mainstream education system. I'm not a huge fan of it.
I would say fair. The education system in Antebellum is dog shit. It's horrible. It's archaic.
Those are the views of Pretty, the so-called.
Yes. Pretty Chance. Reason being, it only caters for a specific group, a small group, and in this world.
Pretty, honestly, I had to keep it real because you've been keeping it real with me. Those are my views too. That, I may not define it as that, but I would define it as that don't work no more. We have more to stop the box.
And why are we following the educational guidelines of a system or a country that has understanding of our country?
Yes, we have teaching them things that they're never going to use.
Use the circumference and the Pythagoras theorem in my life.
I don't even remember what it is.
I don't own a TC.
I don't remember what it is.
I don't have a geometry set.
I don't even know what to do with it if I see one.
I honestly wish if I could go back to school and do any program, financial literacy.
I want to revamp the education system so that a friend of mine recently told me that she thinks her son has ADHD. And I'm like, how you think so? Why you think so? Was he diagnosed? No. Because he couldn't do this in school and he couldn't. I'm like, girl, the boy was bored.
But there's a next thing too, when I really think about it, eh? In the whole education system, there's no program geared towards identifying these things. Teachers have no training in identifying these things. I had an
teacher. You know that we off script now, eh? But let's go off script for this, because this is something that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, that's the reality. It's honestly a frustration. I think
bringing it back to that financial literacy. My husband and I have a son on the autism spectrum. You know what's important to me? Because I realize he's different and he's good different. He needs to be able to count and he can check. He needs to be able to read and write and he can. And let me tell you, outside of that, he knows all the airports and all the planes in the world because that's what he's interested in.
And sometimes your interest is honestly your path to success and a final.
Look at it. Your teacher made you sing music and pull you out of the room to go on and look where you are today because he had the vision.
Yeah, and it definitely sparked a humongous interest. It felt good. It felt different. And I think that is one thing about school. Sometimes schools have this kind of prison-like feeling where you come, you do, and you leave. You know,
it puts children in a box. We have to start teaching our children financial literacy so that when they get to university, when the banks and they come and give them credit cards, that is not their money, they will say no.
There's a course right now I would love to see in school, and I will bet my whole career on it, and I believe it will help the literacy problem in Trinidad and Tobago, probably in the Caribbean, which is simple. a radio broadcasting course.
We need it because you have people who want to do that.
I did a course. And it helped make my reading, intonation, even interviews, having this conversation, being able to articulate myself better. And the difference is it was not a sit down, right? And
you were so right.
Yeah, it was an onboard. And it's only when I got to college I learned a word called kinesthetic. There's a kinesthetic learner, which there are people who they learn from examples, trial and error, working with their hands. And in the school, how are you going to teach me that in mathematics? Mm-hmm.
We really need a revamp. And that this is a whole other interview. Like for the second part, we're gonna come back with a solution for this, but we need a revamp. Financial literacy is real. There are so many people who feel that if they come out of school and they only get A's, it's messy up, you know. By the time you're in your 40s, you're going to some kind of, because you're always looking for that A in life.
I think that would fix everything. And
no, like, but that is not, your A is not going to make you successful. Sorry to tell you, if you listen to this interview and you're a fan of Pretty and you love the Baja TV podcast, an A does not give you an A in life. We have to teach strategies for success, and that's not what they're teaching in the classroom.
Yeah, critical thinking, problem solving, real life issues. There's issues where we will never be able to solve it in our journey. But if we prepare the future generation to deal with it, like, I don't believe you'll ever be able to fight crime.
Yeah.
It's a double negative. There's no way you can fight crime.
Don't get me started on bullying that's happening in the school that we didn't know about when we were going to school in my age.
Bullies insecure. Bullies is just people who are being bullied and just projecting. So when you really get to the root cause of it, the bullies
actually. Where are their parents? Where are their parents? Who's raising these kids?
No, they are victims. The victim is like a multi-tier. Just keep falling down. The parents were victims, and then they're victims. Like that, parents, I believe that licks was every single thing, but they're absent, or they're not explaining to the child why they're getting corrected and these things. They're just letting them have it, and it's just a generational curse. Hey, we go end up in a whole deep trail. But I mean, this is the things that I really am passionate about in terms of.
I'm really glad that we got into this, even though it wasn't planned, because I needed to tell somebody.
Nah, trust me, that'd be frustrating. I just feel like they don't listen to me. Like they just see this, you know?
Anyway, let's get back to the music. Who is your dream collaborator?
I don't have a dream collaborator anymore. I am excited to work with the people that is excited to work with me. I've had my heart broken, you know, wanting things that it wasn't the time for. So I have no dream of who I'm going to collaborate. I've done collabs where I've put my heart and soul in it, and the song wasn't even big. And I felt bad because I push it. You know, I was the person who released it. I was the person who write the whole song, production, every single thing. And it didn't work. So now it's an energy thing. If you want to work with me, I want to work with you. And that's how I use my energy.
You know, that's how I feel about my interviews, right? Like there's some people that I have interviewed for many years, and they don't want me to interview them anymore. And I say, well, no problem. I right now I'm on energy. Back then I wasn't, and maybe if I was, I wouldn't interview them.
Yeah, probably. And it's about safeguarding yours too, you know.
Correct.
At in the right place, you thinking that you bringing something to the table, but they not seeing it as that. They're seen as they just helping you. So you know. Then after I just kind of pull back, because you want to be appreciated no matter what level that you're on and what you bring it to.
Correct. You are so right. Okay. I think based on the time, and we spend time talking about the school system, we need to get straight into the pepper pot. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a pepper pot for you, like a rapid fire section. I think you're like, let's do it.
It's getting hot. We drop you in the pepper pot.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, ma'am.
Pretty is just yes or no, yes. And just give us straight answers, right? Because you know you and I, we can go off course. Because we are creatives.
Yeah.
All right. This rapid fire is, here we go. Doubles or Bacon Shack?
Pikachu.
Stage performance or studio session?
Stage performance.
Big crowd energy or intimate acoustic vibes?
Intimate acoustic vibes.
Sunrise on the avenue or sunset in Maloney?
Sunset in Maloney. Sunset in Maloney, extremely beautiful. People need to see it.
Okay. If you could only sing one song for the rest of your life, what would it be? That's a hard one, producer. Okay.
See ya.
See ya?
Yeah.
Okay. Which artist would you love to drop a collab with, dead or alive?
Blux.
Oh, I see that. I see that. Oh. Biggest carnival fail you've witnessed or experienced? We won't name names unless you want to.
It's a long story, but I'll just shorten it up. So I was booked for a show in St. Croix. That's the first time, last time I ever went. It was started, well, Liat, not around again. So I flew from Trinidad to Antigua without a ticket, without a confirmed ticket. They pulled me off the plane, accused me of hitchhiking to Antigua, paid $1,000 for a ticket. Came to the show in St. Croix. We gave away 4 tickets on the radio station, went to the show. It was only me, the bartender, DJ, and my management. Promoter begged us to stay in the show. We reached back by the hotel in the morning, decided to go back to Miami to leave. Then we ended up not leaving, came back to the room from breakfast. The rooms was locked, promoter didn't pay for the hotel, had to find the promoter, wanted to kill the promoter. Promoter had a poor me one face that he begged us, because it was 2 shows, went to St. Thomas, the show was bus also. That was a horrible experience, but I have never laughed that much in my life. It was an amazing experience, even though it was horrible. Shout out to Wasi. Room was there, DJ Stephen, and my management at the time.
And at the end of it, you laughed.
Yeah, we didn't get no money, but yeah, we laughed.
That sounds like something that happened to me recently. Yeah, shout out to India. All right. Don't let me start calling names. Anyways, in 3 words, describe your vibe on stage. Go.
Energetic, passionate, and spontaneous.
What's something fans would never guess about Pretty backstage?
I am nervous before I go on stage.
I know you were going to say that. I know you. Every single artist says that. From Kevin Little to everybody says that. Okay, good. Because I hear the nerves is good. Oh my God, that's so good. That's so dope. Okay. If you weren't doing music, what would Pretty be doing for real?
I feel like I'd be a national footballer. But if my pops was smarter, I'd be a national cricketer.
Yep, you don't like to be a cricketer?
Of course! I think I have cricketer energy.
Okay, so you can bat or you can bowl. Which one? Because
actually, I play that much and I am a really good all-rounder.
Are you sure? I'm ready to sign you if you're sure. You could come out of retirement.
Listen, I only come in off for the celebrity games last innings. I was for the fans. So I come in, hit 1-6. I might run out, but that run out, that's sliding on my belly. It look good. I just for the TV. That is all I did.
Okay, well, you know, we sometimes we have events like that, you know?
Listen.
So I'll put you down on the list for our celebrity events. Yes, Pretty's coming in last, and he's going to slide off on his belly when he...
Yes. 2 outs, I promise you. 2 outs, 16 runs. No less than that.
Oh my God. Before we wrap up, Pretty, we need to do another ad. We have to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
This segment is brought to you by Ricardo Powell Cricket Academy, based in Atlanta, Georgia.
What's up, Pretty? Why are you hiding from the camera?
Yeah, my cricket academy in Trinidad.
No, our cricket academy is in Atlanta, and we're opening another one in Naples, Florida, in about 4 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to tell everybody to make sure and check out my new song. The name of the song is called My Girl. It's streaming on all platforms. It's an amazing song, and we chopped it with our official video. One shot from start to finish is one shot, one continuous shot. We try to be a lot of creativity in it. Shout out to 3AM partner Shania, who directed and shot everything, advocate who and produced the song alongside Brighton to myself. And it is a homage to Calypso with a K, but we modernizing it with a lot of R&B soca.
So nice. I actually downloaded it on Spotify this morning.
Every time you're vexed with Huzzy, just think about it in that aspect. As for me, no, I wish you.
I guess I'm going to have to watch it right after this episode then.
Yes, because I'm the kind of husband where unless the house is on fire or somebody break a leg or something, so listen, you are nothing. You could be vexed with me for no. No, you could argue, you could quarrel, but just know that I'm not going to match your energy. I'm going to watch you like a cute little chihuahua.
Because you are jokester, it's hard to stay vexed with you. You are the most annoying type.
Well, that's the thing, eh? So it is. When it things serious, that is when I just had to turn off the jokes, because I'm trying to be serious. So it's like,
you had to write song. You had to write the song.
Yeah. I can't tell you no lyrics. I just had my voice is a bit low. Yo, you're tripping this.
Pretty, leave me alone, please. Y'all have to go follow Pretty on Instagram. Island Boy. What is it?
Island Boy_Pretty.
And, you know, download his music everywhere. It's streaming. Of course, you know where to find that. And listen, and I know Pretty's coming back, because when I need some cheering up, I'll be like, producer, book Pretty. Pretty is the man.
You the man for the job. I'm a therapist, too.
I think you would have been the next profession. You'd be a good therapist.
That's how mama, but we have a relationship. God rest his soul. My brother Ricardo Drew. And we always used to give each other advice. And the last time we had a conversation, it was during search party, and I was kind of dumb because like the song was doing so amazing, but I wasn't getting booked for like a lot of the big shows. And he just always, he's the kind of person that always used to check up on it. Once he in here for me a couple of days, yes, he was amazing human in terms of that aspect of being a friend. He was the perfect example of what you would expect a friend. He was always there. He was always loyal when he needed. He just have a conversation with him. So he always managed to be able to message me. I was normally the advice giver, but that day he messaged me, what's going on? And I was like, boy, season for shit, man. Then he gave me back the exact same advice I gave him. And it was funny, he real laughed because he was like, he holding out, he knew what I needed. And like, he was a really amazing person, and you know, despite what anybody else would say.
I never knew him, but I'm happy you shared that with me. I never knew him, sorry. But he's somebody that I would have loved to interview, you know?
He was and is one of the best performers. There's nobody that could have wake up a crowd like him. I think he was really unappreciated. Really, 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 really unappreciated. And watching his career is what made me stop focusing on how underrated I was and just start enjoying the journey. And stop focusing on the people that not on me and focus on the people that on me. So the events stop going, the events that the promoters like, you're not booking me, you never book me, you promise.
I know my producer's in the background hearing this, and that has to be our message for this week, where we focusing on the people who on us.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And you are one of them. And whatever we can do to keep blowing up Pretty, because you deserve it. You're clearly not somebody chasing fame. You know, whilst you're confident in who you are, you don't overthink it. And I love that. That is just so nice.
I think fame, even money, I think those things are just a byproduct of being successful. So the more successful is, the more popular. Even if you don't want to be popular, but that is a byproduct. So Like the more you continue striving, it will always be there. It will never leave. So it's like, why chasing something that is already promised with being successful? So I just try to focus on that.
I'm pretty. Before we go, I also want to thank you for my new name. Tell the people the new name you have for me now. I'm collecting names around here.
Boss BB. Baja Boss. Yo, BB. Yo, BB.
You, BB. Oh God, pretty, you're so sweet. I can talk to you whole day, you know. When I come to Trinidad, we have to link up. But I'm sure I may see you in our studio in Naples, Florida before that. Yeah. It was so nice. We have to do this twice, and we have to, you know, whatever you have to promote, just let us know. We are here for you because you're the real deal. You are the real deal. You have made my day better. And I hope that for our viewers and our listeners, that you would make theirs even better. Your message is so important right now. And thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for showing up for us and for making us know that this platform is important to you too, for on your journey. We really appreciate it. We really do.
Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to.
I'm just trying to represent for the culture, and I don't think everybody understands that. Because guess what? Who's going to call you? Oprah? No, she ain't calling you. So, it's me I have a deal with. I'm the one waving the flags of the Caribbean high in North America, and I'll keep doing it. And I will keep showing up for those
who... Thank you. You are appreciated. I said it. I just posted something on the wall talking to media, and I think... We local media don't understand how important that they are for local talent, because a lot of us, like myself, we might not be the person to run up and do every social media challenge or every TikTok challenge. Some of us are not so, but me myself, I'm not so versed in the marketing and the media side of it. So I'm learning. So things like this, people like you are definitely going a long way in terms of helping continuously to build and bring some kind of light to my career. So people will know me before I reach Bob Marley status, because I will reach there.
And so, I believe you. After this interview we've just done, after getting to know you, after Boss Lady, I'm your number one fan. Trust and believe that. You're the real deal, pretty. And thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, King. Thank you for coming true. You know, I want to also thank 47 Productions for powering this interview and for making it possible for us to bring this interview for the rest of the world. Big up Dwayne Bravo and the crew. Big up Tommy. Everybody who made it possible. Big up my producer, who is the hardest and who had it. She was spot on with this one, because she's the one who said, pretty is the man. Thank you. I love you all. She would all the time. She's the best in the business. Yeah. So guys, don't forget to subscribe, follow, don't delete, because we're just getting started. And as pretty said, we're getting bigger. And let me tell you something. Nobody does it like us. We're number one for Caribbean celebrities in North America. Mm-hmm. And you know how we do it. Baja style. I'll see you guys later. It's pretty. Go follow him, and don't forget to give your girl a follow. No, at Baja TV Podcast. Subscribe.